Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this, my friends, is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
We are gathered here on a Monday, but a Tuesday for you if you're hearing this. And, well, we've got a case of the Star Wars Mondays, meaning there's a lot of news to discuss from this upcoming Empire magazine article. And we're going to get to that. Mandalorian Season 3 insights. We've also, we're going to meet Nubs. And I can't wait to meet Nubs. It's going to be a lot of fun. And disputed this week at Star Wars history. The dispute is with Star Wars. We'll get to that and explain that at the end of the show. Before we get to all of that, we are going to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have a 4center recommends, a chance for you to support the show while also listening to a free Star Wars audio book. We also are doing what we been calling our Ask. It's the Ask segment. A picture, a logo, and some big music, some maybe James Earl Jones doing the Ask. And that's what this segment is in our heads. Joseph, we have been having a lot of fun over on YouTube, and that is where our current ask is.
It is indeed. I am extremely happy to do this this ask, but I'm having a hard time moving past the phrase meet Nubs, which I know you mean is M-E-E-T, meet the great new character Nubs. But when I hear Ken Napsok say meet Nubs, I assume you've discovered some new treat at Sizzler.
Oh, yeah.
If only. Yes. Good point.
Anyway, moving on from meat nubs, yes, we are doing our current ask. We have premiered a couple new things on YouTube. We premiered the show Figure Fights, which is a fun comedy half hour where we reveal a couple of action figures, Star Wars action figures, and debate and decide who we think would win in a fight. The first episode was a ton of fun. The second episode is coming out this Thursday, February 16th. Our ask in particular is to get that first episode of Figure Fights up to 1,500 views. We are very close. We're around 1,100-ish. And the higher we get, I think the more the strange, old, mysterious algorithm will tell other people who aren't already fans of Force Center to check this out and see if they like it. And that will help us expand out, take a larger step into the universe of YouTube.
Yeah, that's it's a dangerous step to take, but we're having a lot of fun over there. Well, thank you all for your responses. And yeah, like Joseph said, the next episode, February 16th, we'll be doing the live premiere. If we can, we'll be popping in there and saying hello. But it's kind of a fun feel to hang out, watch the show roll out in front of all of your eyes. So, yeah, good stuff there. Star Wars and Life Adventures. I said it's a case of Mondays only because my week's starting in a just a chihuahuas doing what they want. I got to get this done. I think we all kind of got that, not just us broadcasting, but you listening. So it's one of those weeks. It's, you know, I think February, this part in February is when the new year is gone and it's the year. And now you have to really start to get things done. And I'm feeling that crunch there. So I didn't get a chance to slow down to catch too much Star Wars other than The Mandalorian. And that's where I'll start with my Star Wars Life Adventures. I think even now I underestimate how cute Grogu is. I think even now I'm in a season two rewatch, getting ready to watch Book of Boba Fett. And hot damn, that Grogu's just got my heart all over again. The macaroons are one thing, but it's the reacting to his name when Din finally learns his name from it just I was like, oh, that's right. This is why it's an icon. This is why Grogu is worldwide. And getting up, getting ready for season three, it's been good to reacquaint myself with our little friend Grogu. You know, Jen, I don't know where your Star Wars adventures are going, but I hope it includes some Grogu.
You know what it's going to? You inspired me. I'm going to start rewatching The Mandalorian this week in preparation for season three. Because that, well, we'll talk about it, but the Empire cover really got me excited. Let's see. This week, not too much other than I was looking at Fashion Week. Fashion Week is happening in New York City, Manhattan, whatever. And I was so excited just to see what are the latest trends. And I kept seeing, I'm always finding Star Wars, you know, things in everything. And sometimes I'm shoehorning it in. And sometimes it's in the form of an Ewok hood walking down the runway. I kid you not. I could not believe, I thought, is this real? The show was kind of fantastical as it was. You know, the models had like deer ears, and it was very much like an animalistic kind of theme. And then she walked out with the little ears and the Ewok hood, and I went, oh my, there's my Star Wars style. Yeah.
Now, what was it in just in general meant to be an actual like earth bear with a hood, or was it meant to explicitly be an Ewok?
I don't know, but let's go. There's no other way. Ewoks have hoods. We all know that. There is no teddy bear or bear that would wear a hood like that, right? That wraps around and all of that. It was so clearly Wicket. Although the ears were gray, so that would be more like a Tebow. But yeah, I was delighted.
to your question, Joseph, I don't know because I saw it scroll past on the internet, past my eyes, and I went, oh, that's got to be a parody. But no, it's real. So therefore, I think I recognize this as an Ewok, but it could just be, like you said, generic space bear.
Generic space bear. All I know is I felt vindicated because I used to have a Her Universe hoodie that had ears on it just like that. So I was like, you know what? Her Universe was the head of the trend.
And now, have you done a TikTok or a reel about this yet, Jennifer?
I did. Okay. But then I think I released it. Was it yesterday? And it was Super Bowl Sunday. So nobody cared about the Ewoks and Fashion Week.
Well, to quote Luke Skywalker, I care. I got to see that. Did you model your Ewok hood?
No, that I did not. I couldn't find any video of me wearing it. I just had a photo.
We got to do sometime a live show that's just a Four Center fashion show with the runway and everything. And Jennifer, you can have 8,000 amazing outfits. And then Ken and I will just have a different t-shirt every 30 seconds.
I could have the t-shirt fashion show as well.
True.
Thumbs up society, I think, in a nutshell right there. I love that. I'll get the shirts pressed and ready to go. Beautiful. Jen from Ewoks and Grogu. Joseph, it's not time to talk about Nubs yet, but any cute thing in Star Wars for you?
I want to meet Nubs. Good week, busy week. I'm working hard on a couple different short films when I'm trying to pull all the elements together in time for a submission for a film festival. So that one has been dominating a lot of my mind and soul. I did release the short film that I had at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. That one's called Unboxing the Cosmos. And many people have watched and been kind. That one's kind of about life on the internet, about wrestling with the algorithm. And the algorithm actually has suggested it to a couple people, which made it extra scary. So that was fun. But I bring it up because there are many Four Center listeners who gave it a try. I think some literally just giving it a try to be kind. And some who are like me, fans of horror, cosmic horror, in have that overlapping interest. So it was really great to see so many Four Center listeners watching and saying nice things in the comments and sharing it. So thank you all so much for watching and sharing that. If you're on YouTube watching figure fights, go ahead and check out Unboxing the Cosmos. So my Star Wars adventures then were in the midst of everything. The algorithms on social media have totally got my number. I have ads pretty much on Facebook and Instagram only for action figures.
Wow.
Yes. Which is, yes. And they're getting really, really down to like, oh, we know what you like. Mm-hmm. So I got, in fact, right after we finished our episode about discussing new action figures coming out last week, I got two coveted Obi-Wans that I found for a cheaper amount. So I have two Obi-Wans in a box waiting as a reward when I've got my work done.
Kenobi in a box. Love that.
Kenobi in a box. Who Kenobi in a box? And I will share them on old social media when they have been freed from their box as reward. So those are my adventures.
Love that. I totally forgot. It was sitting right in front of me. I got distracted with Grogu. Yeah. Your love of figures is so well known, Joseph, and it inspired one of our Four Center listeners, Will, who did some custom figures of some Star Wars favorites of ours. And I have them. I have to mail, full disclosure, I think Will knows this, I have to mail Joseph and Jennifer their custom figures. But I have a Time Grappler 3¾ figure here that is amazing with the hammers. And he is ready to kick Stormtrooper butts. And I have revealed what Joseph and Jennifer will be getting. It's a Frog Lady and a Terrace Anube and a Lolito Primock. And they're just so wonderful. Cool. But also reminds me of, you know, we just need classic Kenner figures to come out all the time about these little characters in the corners that we love so much.
I really, really want that. But that's so generous and so kind. And I can't wait to see what they look like and get them in my hot little hands.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
So Will wanted to shout you out. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's get to some Star Wars news. And I think I'm a little out of practice, though. Well, the Bad Batch lead up is always going to be a little bit different than some of the live action shows and movies. We understand that. We get that. Bad Batch is just zipping along with some wonderful episodes. So hopefully you're all digging into the Bad Batch report. But I'm a little out of practice is my point here, because this Empire magazine article, which is mostly online, but you can get on the newsstand. It's coming out February 16th. And this, we've got one tease, and then you got another tease. And then even at the time of recording, two more teases have popped up. I think three more, actually. And I'm sure more will come out as the entire article just gets released blurb by blurb. But we're going to dive into it, looking ahead of the full issue release again on February 16th. Empire Magazine released a new photo, a couple new photos from the upcoming third season of Mandalorian, and showed off the cover. The cover shows a helmetless Din Djarin and Bo-Katan with Grogu in a new pram, Din is wielding the Darksaber, a reminder of what just might be at stake for these two characters, what might be between them. So I'm going to go tell my chihuahuas to quit biting and barking with excitement. And
oh, I thought it was mine.
It is Baxter. I'm very excited for Grogu. So Joseph, thoughts on the cover?
Yeah, so I think it's great to have be in this era. This couple of weeks is what I mean by an era of Mando hype. And yeah, this is our Monday recording. Like as we're recording, 800 other little drips from this Empire magazine will come out. There's some articles about Jon Favreau getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is well earned, but always well timed. He's getting that right now. For a reason, and that mm-hmm. is to hype us up for Mandalorian Season 3, which is great. Mm-hmm. Not that it isn't earned, and not that I won't be really happy every time I walk by it, but that's the deal with that. But the cover itself, Ken, I'm excited for it. In some ways, it's kind of like straightforward. Here are the characters. Here are the issues. But I love that the cover with Din's helmet off almost looks like the characters are actually doing a photo shoot because they're very in character for how they would respond to a photo shoot. Grogu is kind of like waving at the camera. Being like, yeah, I know I'm that cute. Hi, do you have any cookies for me? Bo-Katan is working her angles and looking really regal. She's done this before and she knows how to do it. And then Din looks just like deeply uncomfortable and ashamed to have his helmet off. And like, he's not exactly sure how he should pose. So it looks perfect for the characters doing a photo shoot.
It did look like someone is going to go up to you afterwards and be like, you're not going to post that, right? Don't post that picture. Please don't post that picture.
He looks like I did when I did my senior photos and did not really want to do them and was just angry about it. Yeah, excited to see the pram. I believe that has been in the trailers, but it is cool to see it in the photo shoot. And I'm excited about the idea of the pram. Of does he really need it? Luke taught him to jump and hop. is he clinging to something? Is he infantilizing himself, or is Grogu going to get out and do some jumping? That's what I think when I see the pram.
I love it. And Jen, want to get your thoughts here, but the ongoing like pram cavalcade parade of prams, if you will. I love it. And I'm with you too, Joseph. I had this thought watching the Ahsoka, the Jedi episode from season two. I'm waiting. And a lot of people talk about it. I'm waiting for the Grogu Maggie Simpson first words episode like that. And is that when he leaps out of the pram for good? I don't know.
It just makes me think about if we ever were to see many more Grogu-like species, right? If we were to see more of them and their little prams, I could just see them all like going forward and attacking someone in their prams. It'd be like a baby attack. I loved the cover. This was a surprise because I was Googling The Mandalorian Season 3 and I all of a sudden, what? What is this new image? Oh my gosh. And like the pink font, the helmets off. It was so striking. And like you're saying, Joseph, it seemed like they were in character, which is why I found it surprising that Din had his helmet off, because it just felt like – it's not like the Vanity Fair shoot. Remember that one with Ewan McGregor and all that? And like very stylized, very, you know, sexy looking. This was much more like you're saying. Din is wrestling with his identity. Din is trying to figure out like, I'm a Mandalorian no more. So I guess I don't have to wear my helmet all the time. Like what's going on? So I wasn't sure if you know, they had his helmet off for the photo shoot because Pedro Pascal is having a moment, right? They're capitalizing on that. Everyone's loving him. So that's a star power. Or if it's a clue that the season three is going to go and we are going to see more of his face. I don't know. I could be reading into it, but I loved also that Katie Sackhoff is front and center, is Bo-Katan. It just feels like for us fans who have been fans of her since the Clone Wars, it just feels good. Feels good to see her in the spotlight.
I love that you highlight that as an actual thing to really think about the season. Like Din's declared mission, and you know, in previous seasons, he likes to declare his mission at the top of every episode to every person he meets. His declared mission is to get forgiveness for taking his helmet off, which would suggest that he's never going to take it off again. But the fact that he took it off to make connection with Grogu, and now he's made the choice, like, no, Grogu and I are a clan of two, we are together, but I'm also going to spend all this time going around trying to get forgiveness for being intimate and open and connecting with you. That's an obvious tension. And I hope that's one of the things that Bo-Katan isn't just like, give me the darksaber, but just like a boatload of your beliefs from that cult that is similar to the one I used to be a part of are wrong. Let it go. Take off your helmet. Be a person.
Love that.
I would really love that. I think digging in a little bit more and just I'm in this rewatch and I had not seen season two in a while. After the season, I just hadn't a chance to go back and just some of the words and reaction Bo-Katan is having to like, this guy, you're a child of the watch, buddy. Here's the problem. That's got to drive some of the stuff forward. And even I want to talk about the other release photo, one of the other release photos. There's a great solo shot of Bo-Katan, but there's the one that's going around from this big little blurb of the three same characters, but helmets on, standing on the shoreline, Grogu and Pram. And I saw that and it just seems like, yeah, that's what we're going to get a lot of. But I love your idea, Jen, of Din, not just because Pedro's having a moment, but also doesn't hurt that he's having a moment and get his face. To just see Din acting in a new way with no helmet, a new him, but also wrestling with it. The Mando identity thing. That's just kind of, I don't know. That's what I think of when I see the photo of them with helmets on.
Right. That's why the cover is so interesting because he's more vulnerable, vulnerable emotionally, more vulnerable physically. And so when I saw the other photo that they released with their helmets on, it's like, okay, yeah, this is what I expected. But also at the same time, it seems like they're united in that photo, like they're united towards a common goal. They're on a mission or something, which is kind of not how the trailer has been portraying it. It seems like they're at odds. Even the cover seems like they're a little bit like there's tension. They're at odds. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I want to get the magazine in my hand so I can flip through it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the strange physical magazines that still exist. You can go buy it with your hands and everything.
Right. Exactly.
Amazing.
I want to hear your thoughts on this, Joseph, too. But you're just making me think of the last big push. Last Jedi, yes. But I have 90 magazines from Force Awakens probably just sitting in storage. I don't know what to do with it. That was my last big magazine day as a collector in Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I grabbed some Kenobi ones and, you know, some of them are the ends of eras, but yeah, I'm glad that that Pedro Pascal and Katie Sackhoff are selling magazines. That's great. And Grogu. That photo on the beach is great, too, because it does really look like they are about to confront either someone or they're looking ahead to some long journey. And it made me really hopeful that maybe early in the season there will be some sort of mission with just the three of them that really sets the table for their conflict, right? If Din wants to go to Mandalore, but he needs her help to navigate it, and she's like, okay, but we got all these issues, right? And have all of that sort of set the table for where their conflict is going. And I obviously we know that Bo-Katan wants the Darksaber. She wants to take it in combat, but how far is she going to go with that? And that makes me think a lot about the way we've already seen Din use the Darksaber. Like, I don't think right now Din is like, yes, I want to be the leader of Mandalore. he's got his own concerns, but he's already used the Darksaber, you know, to help Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that he would get attached to the Darksaber to be like, but it's a weapon. And in my view, weapons are used by Mandalorians to protect the people you care about. So I don't want to give it up because it's a powerful way for me to help keep Grogu safe.
Mm. Yeah, I love that beam between them here and what that could mean. This is random, that, and this is not a full prediction, but seeing this shot and just listening to what you're saying, Joseph, about them and where they're going and the rulers of Mandalore, and we're going to get some quotes here in a second of what's going on. I don't, my mind doesn't go here all the time. I don't necessarily see two characters and want to squish them together in a romance. It's just not where I'm at with a lot of stories these days, but I saw that it almost looked like a family photo to me.
Yes.
Them on the beach, just getting away. We're going to Cabo. Rest up. No, but and I think I saw some other people out there. And again, I don't need any characters to get together. But sweeping romances have been part of Star Wars history. There, This isn't a Ken put it down on a piece of paper prediction. But I just had that vibe of them. There in a lot of the trailers and footage we've seen so far, they are kind of pitted against each other. It seems that way. Just some of the quotes from Bo-Katan and the stuff she's saying to Grogu. To work through that and come out, as co-rulers almost, so to speak, of Mandalore is something I think I'm 2% interested and rising after just seeing this potential family film. I don't know. Mom
I'd be dad. Fine with romance if that makes sense. I'd also be fine with, you know, siblings that basically like, from Grogu's perspective, you know, Din's my dad and Bo-Katan's my really intense auntie who disagrees with that a lot.
Family dinners are, you know, at least I get my macaroons. Anyway, Jen, you, family photo on the beach, did that strike anything with you?
That's exactly what I thought. I just thought, you know, people are calling, Ash is calling him daddy, right? Or zaddy. And it just felt like mom and dad in that photo.
Amanda, mom and dad. Yeah, it could be. It could be. Like I said, I'm open to all things. It's just one of the first times. I hadn't thought that. That's the thing is, prior to that photo, I don't think I thought that at all between the characters or anything. I still think at the end of this, I wouldn't mind seeing Din go back to, was it Sorgan, and just tell Amira, hey, I'm ready. Mask is off. I want to hang out here and just be a krill farmer. That'd be a good ending for me. Let's get to some of those quotes that came out of this. We're going to focus on a couple. Again, there was little blurbs that came out today at the time of a recording. I'm sure more by the time they're released. We're focused on these two quotes. Pedro Pascal said this, what I love most about season three is how much the world opens up in terms of Mandalore and Mandalorians. That means so many different facets of culture, politics, and rules and discoveries. Delicious doors are flying wide open. There it is, family on the beach. Katie said this is an epic season. It's so big and so bold and so different. We know the family that she was born into. Now, what's the family that she's going to choose? What does that look like? Also some great quotes of Katie saying stuff about Favreau and Rick Famuyiwa leaning on her and her connection with the character of Bo-Katan, and Katie saying, I've lived with her pain. Her pain is my pain, so to speak. Love all that stuff. Well, let's dive into these quotes. Jen, start with you. What jumps out out of these two quotes?
To me, it really feels like we're going to get more Mandalore lore Clone Wars because, you know, not everyone has seen that. And so I think that they're going to kind of maybe give a refresher. I mean, I just watched it like last year, but you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, what happened again? Okay, right. What are the different dynamics? So they're going to need to catch some people up to speed with that. So I think that's part of it. And I think that they're going to continue expanding on that because we know how much both Filoni and Favreau love the Mandalorian lore. And I'm excited. I think big. I think lots of Mandalorians. I think drama, intrigue, right?
Yeah.
Of it's going to be there, but definitely a lot of lore.
Yeah, we know season three is going to be big because that keeps coming up. Bigger, the scope and all that kind of stuff. And that does have me excited. I love Lone Wolf and Cub. I love the Clan of Two. I love kind of the smaller scale story we've gotten so far, but ready to slide into some big stuff there. Joseph, there's a lot at stake here. We know the rulers of Mandalore might be up for grabs. I love this idea of delicious doors are flying wide open based on what these characters are learning. Where do you go with these quotes?
Yeah, there's so much interesting about it. I love the big picture idea that we started small in the show The Mandalorian with that first episode, Din making a choice of who he wants to be as a Mandalorian. He doesn't want to be seen as somebody who, you know, hurts a child, but instead protects a child. That's what it means to him to be a Mandalorian. And now it's exploding out into this large scale where he's interacting with all these other Mandalorians. I love what Jennifer's saying about the history, right? The audience kind of gets history lessons as Din gets them. And the really interesting thing is we got the armor's like 1-star negative review of the history of the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
Right.
When she told him that, hey, this family, the Kriz family, Satine and Bo-Katan have both had a shot at ruling Mandalore and they've been weak and they are it's their fault that our planet is destroyed and we're scattered. Yeah. So I think Bo-Katan probably has a different take on the history that she might want to share with Din. I think that a thing that I've been thinking about a lot, especially with Katie Sackhoff's great quote about her pain, Bo-Katan's pain is my pain, is the history of Bo-Katan is reactionary in a lot of ways. Like if you go through the beats that we know, there's lots of beats we don't know, but you know, her sister Satine promotes change and peace and Bo-Katan rebels and joins the Death Watch and does violent, awful things.
Yeah.
And then the Death Watch sides with Maul. Pointless vengeance and anger gets her sister killed. And Bo-Katan kind of swings the other way to the point where when we catch up with her again in Rebels many, many years later, Sabine is ready to just lash out and kill every Imperial on Mandalore. And it's Bo-Katan who gives her the kind of Jedi speech of like, that kind of vengeance isn't actually going to help you. It's only going to hurt you. she allowed herself to bend tradition and take the Darksaber without combat from Sabine. Now she's swung back to this very, like, the violence, the old ways. It has to be taken in combat. And I hear all of that in what Katie is saying about, we know the family she was born into, now what she's going to choose. Like, it's fascinating to have a character who said, I've swung to the extremes. I've said the old ways of violence, domination, best person wins. I've said softer, gentler. My sister was right. Both of them have ended in tragedy for me. The hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, no, that's, I love what you're both saying here. And I'll start with Jen, what you're saying about the refresher. It just might be needed, because I don't know if it's been completely clear. You know, I don't know if my fiance, who watched every episode, knows who Duchess Satine is, right? Like,
right.
And I want her to know. And but just it just, so go from that into what you're saying, Joseph. It's just it's a storytelling opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
The armor, that's hilarious. The one star review, like you said, there, got that going. But then you got a chance for Bo-Katan to explain it, and it seems like we're going to get those conversations. Never like to lock myself into what I think the trailer's telling me in terms of just actual scenes and dialogue. But you got a lot of that Bo-Katan sitting there on a throne, going, "Yeah, where the bleep were you, man?" and I think to actually get to that, there's so much potential in that refresher to just explain it more, much like we got the flashback of the Great Purge and the TIE bombers and that tragedy. We could get to, and I'm not saying it has to be flashbacks, but just, you know, discussed in a way of exactly what you're saying of, you know, obviously Filoni and Katie and John, because he was there. They know the history, the Death Watch stuff. It's not like they've forgotten that. So we have to figure that out. And then with a lot of those questions of, at the end of season two, people had that. Well, why? Well, but she took it before. But all right, she did take it before from Sabine. Now she's not. What does that mean? And what? Mm-hmm. How will that play out in the stories? And now I'm super excited. Yeah, good job. I have no question for you both. Just excitement. Just excitement.
Yeah, I'm curious too, because there are some people who did not watch the Book of Boba Fett. So
I've heard of some of those people.
Yeah, right. And so they do have a lot to catch people up on. But, you know, at the same time, they're so good at playing those two levels of appealing to the hardcore and kind of not dumbing it down. Right. I thought that's what they did such a great job with that moment in the Book of Boba Fett, is that there were some people who were like, wait, I got to go back to the Clone Wars and rewatch this. I'm looking forward to seeing how they tell the story.
I think it'll be a pretty long previously on for the first episode.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised to just even see, like, StarWars.com put out a, you know, be sure to catch these episodes of Book of Boba Fett kind of reminder for people who, you know, Boba Fett's not for them. That show's not going to be for some people. And I hope people who like The Mandalorian and maybe didn't enjoy Book of Boba Fett or gave up on it earlier are willing to watch those two episodes because the stuff that relates directly to Din and Grogu is so great.
Mm-hmm. It's key. It's all part of the same corner of storytelling there. Would you, either of you, this won't happen, but it'd be weird. But if on a previously on beginning chapter one, if we also show Rebels and Clone Wars clips, would that work?
Yeah.
We just have that?
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting.
I don't think they would do that. I think it would confuse people too much, right?
People click it off. Oh, it's a cartoon. I've been like, Iger.
There's some episode where they got turned into cartoons. Did I miss that one?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be hilarious. Anyways, all right. Yeah. We'll see. Great stuff. You both got me excited. And one fun of the other stuff that's popped up, you had the great stuff from Katie Sackhoff about her input into the character. But I also love the other one was Pedro Pascal. He can't see out of the mask. When you put that on, it fogs up. You're tripping over things. That's both a Star Wars tradition. I think of Anthony Daniels, Fallen Everywhere in A New Hope, as 3PO, of course. But also, it's like it's that Star Wars thing of, you know, well, here's why the stormtroopers miss. You put on a helmet, it doesn't line up with eyes. It doesn't line up with the human head. So I kind of love that kind of stuff, even though it takes a little bit of the magic away from me at times where I'm like, well, I just want to pretend that Mando can see perfectly fine. Anyways, anyone else have a reaction to Pedro can't see bleep?
It made me feel better because anytime I put on my Darth Vader or Boba Fett helmets, I can't see. It falls. It's just incredibly awkward. So just like even on this incredible show, he still can't see. And he's not even in that helmet as often as the stunt guys. So I can only imagine how they're able to maneuver. Talk about impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Katie Sackhoff's quotes about there's five women playing Bo-Katan.
About,
yeah, I do knee slides. I like knee slides. So when she does a knee slide, that's me. Like I like how much more they've been celebrating the team effort to create these Mandalorian characters.
Yeah, in a way that had not been done, not just in Star Wars. You don't hear that as much, you know. And I know a lot of stunt performers, and they are kind of an overlooked crew, and I've kind of been enjoying that, and including like a lot of the stunt coordinators and performers being cast. Book of Boba Fett, that deputy was one of them, right? And we tracked some of that during the season. I just kind of like that kind of stuff too. Credit is where credit is. And five with each skill set. That's we need a jumper. We need a puncher. We need a blaster shooter.
We need a kicker. It's so great. The Pedro Pascal is so charming and so funny, and I hope there is an actual audio clip of him talking about this, because it's very, very funny. But for me, it's also just that reminder of like the general rule in Star Wars is that if physics be damned if it's cool, right? TIE fighters make noises in space. The Mandalorian helmets you can see even better out of in Star Wars fiction. And that's one of the things that makes it cool.
Makes it cool indeed. Well, the coolness kicks up to high gear coming March 1st. Oh, Mandalorian season 3 almost here. I'm sure we'll have a lot more when this issue is fully released. We will dive into, I'm sure, other quotes, photos, and more. Take a quick break. But before we do, we have a Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
We are still recommending Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan. I'm not going to say new anymore. It's a High Republic adventure. And we're looking forward to diving in.
We are. Download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audio book. I finally also got the Blade of Bardotta, the Blade comic series, is in my hands. I can finally read about my favorite cook and Jedi, Porter Engel. So we're diving into High Republic soon enough. All right, quick break on the other side. We are going to meet Nubs and have meet Nubs at 7-Eleven, and also talk about a happy ending for a potentially sad story and more. Stick around for more Force.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center. We are taking a look at Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. And I am just tickled. I'm tickled to cover this story. All right. I've seen it go around. Is it going to get everyone excited? Is it going to move the needle? Not necessarily. But we talked about the Young Jedi Adventures before, but now we have a cast reveal and we get to meet the characters of this series. On May 4th, we will meet all the Jedi younglings like Kai Brightstar, voiced by Jamal Avery Jr., Lys Soleil, voiced by Juliet Donenfeld, and Nubs, voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, and their friends Nash Durango, voiced by Emma Berman, and Jonathan Lipow as the droid RJ-83, which, I don't know, that's a Return of the Jedi 83 tribute to me. I don't know. Maybe they revealed that. We're going to be spending a lot of time on the planet Tanu. This is, of course, set during the High Republic era, which means we're also going to get to see Yoda, and we got to see Yoda in his High Republic robes. We're going to dive into that. Also announced, as I'll dump all this information on the table here, we'll pick up the pieces. It was announced that a series of little golden books and first reader comics are going to be on the way as the Young Jedi Adventures show and a little universe enters ours on May 4th. So thoughts on the character design, the books, Nubs. We can start anywhere you want. Jen, where are you going?
So last week, I spent all week working on a video about how they should reboot the Ewoks cartoon, why it would appeal to the younger generation. We need this for preschoolers. And I was about to release it when this news came out. And I went, they heard me. They heard our cries. This is what I have been asking for 7 freaking years. A Star Wars show that will appeal to preschoolers. It's going to appeal to like my 3-year-old, but it's reminds me very much of this show. It's called Super Monsters. It's very much similar animation style. And my 3-year-old loves it, but my 7-year-old also enjoys it. It's kind of like a Disney Junior type show. It's on Netflix. And that's the thing about Disney Junior shows, Puppy Dog Pals, all those things. They can appeal to a wide range of kids. So, you know, there's no violence. There's nothing like, we love Star Wars Rebels. We love Resistance, but it still is too old for a 3, 4, and 5-year-old. And that is how you create a new generation of Star Wars fans, fans who are not, don't have parents who are huge fans, right? It just makes it so much more accessible. I've shown my kids the image. They flipped out. My 3-year-old loves Nubs, but my 7-year-old is obsessed with Lys. Lys, the girl. So excited. I just, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm going to buy everything.
Love it. I mean, I might be buying a Nubs as well. It's just amazing. It's just too cute. But I want to, you know, give Nubs some respect. Nubs has a lightsaber there. Right? I just learned to use one. Joseph, where do you go with this? Droids. And I definitely will start the Yoda conversation. I want to get your thoughts on Yoda robes.
Yeah, I mean, my main thought, like it appears most of the internet, is nubs. It makes entire sense that there would be an alien, an adorable, fun, weird alien. But the fact that it's basically a blue teddy bear with vampire teeth, great. A koala with vampire teeth. I really hope that Nubs is some sort of actual space vampire. I don't think so. But those teeth, I mean, they're cute, but they are ready to draw some, you know, fluids. Anyway, regardless, Nubs is great. I guess it's a weird thing to say, maybe not. It is really nice to see some young Padawans, some Jedi youngling, and just not have to worry about their future.
Yeah.
Right.
They can pass peacefully into the Force of old age. And that's nice for once to not go like, oh, Nubs. Oh, no, but Order 66. Nubs. Oh, no, but Kylo Ren. It's nice to just go, Nubs.
Yeah.
Bet they lived a great life. I also like, I don't think we've seen the images of Nash Durango yet. To my knowledge, I like RJ83, but I do like the idea that, you know, every Jedi needs some non-Jedi friends. If this is, you know, like they're saying, like Jennifer is saying so well, an opportunity for younger kids to get introduced to Star Wars. The Jedi are great, but, you know, the droids, the friends who are maybe not full scoundrels for a preschool show, but, you know, pilots who get into trouble. There's a lot of those kind of friends in the High Republic era. So I'm kind of hoping that's what Nash Durango is.
Yeah, indeed. And I like the RJ83. Looks like it's going to be perfect in mini Funko Pop form.
Ready to be Funkos. I did have a question for Jen. Is our resident parent expert. What do you think the length of the episodes might be, or how many in a season? What's right for kids this age?
What I've been seeing is there's usually 2 to 3 episodes within a 22-minute block.
Oh.
So for example, they have on this show, in addition to the Lucasfilm Disney Plus people producing it, they have Michael Olson, who is a showrunner who worked on Puppy Dog Pals, another executive producer who worked on Elena of Avalor. So those episodes are about 22, 25 minutes, and there's 2 episodes. So I'm guessing they'll probably be like that, 2 12-minute episodes, which I find a little jarring, but my kids don't mind it. They like it. I mean, they can hang with one long episode, but breaking it up is kind of fun, I will say.
Yeah.
They get 2 adventures for the price of 1.
Yeah, that's great. And how long are the seasons of things like Puppy What Pals?
Puppy Dog Pals. There's a Puppy lot of episodes of Puppy Dog Pals. There's a lot. Bingo and Rolly go on a lot of adventures.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I mean, I want to say there's like 20-something. I can't imagine there's going to be that many.
20-something. It's like a season of Wings. Wow.
Okay.
Right? It's like old school. It's old school. But yeah, there's a lot of episodes. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe there's only like 15. But
yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. I'm so excited. So
for things like Puppy Dog Pals and the Monster One, are there like other animated shows where they are absolutely geared to a specific age, but then kind of have fun jokes for the adults kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Like I'll sit and watch Puppy Dog Pals. It's cute. It's fun. There's some funny jokes, but it still doesn't play like super like over the kids' heads. It still is pretty like.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe teenage. It's like teenage level humor. That's about as
perfect.
Old as it gets. Yeah.
Right, my wheelhouse there. No, I love this. We always love celebrating different entry points into Star Wars, and this is key to everything what you're saying, Jen, earlier of expanding it and Star Wars Kids and all the things they've been kind of working on. It just makes a lot of sense, and that's why I think I have some excitement for it. It's, you know, are we going to do 2-hour Force Center deep dives on it? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see what the episode teaches. But I think it's valuable. It's fun. And then, like I said, this Yoda. I already want a Yoda figure on this design. A little bit more hair. It's like a middle-aged Yoda. The eyes are a little more bright. The robes are definitely shiny. I love this little version of Yoda here.
You're going to look at him. I'm looking. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yes, there's a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
He's been sleeping more.
He really is. He's in his happy place, right? Like, I think that's kind of what's exciting to me is, like, Yoda likes teaching younglings, right? Like, I love how happy we see him in Attack the Clones, you know, just really enjoying it, you know? So I'm excited to see some Yoda getting to enjoy himself.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. Yeah, and I do love scrolling down, seeing a little bit more of those nubs, fangs popping out. That is, that's interesting. I'm with your vampire theory here.
That's what I'm gonna be my Halloween costume. And put on some vampire teeth, and I'll fashion some nub ears and little furry mittens.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Who doesn't love furry nubs mittens?
Yeah. meat nubs.
Meat nubs.
Love it.
Chop off my fingers.
Love it, love it, love it. Oh, there you go. We'll keep you updated, and we definitely going to be watching Young Jedi Adventures. Final story of the day. We got a sweet, happy ending for the Peter Mayhew Memorial Memorabilia Saga, I should say. Last week, a potentially sad story emerged around some Star Wars-related items, once in the possession of Peter Mayhew and his family. Several items, including an original episode 4 script and call sheets, have been left in the house after the Mayhews moved out. They just couldn't get up and get it. Peter's health put them in that tough spot. And the current owner of the house put the items up for auction. But Angie Mayhew, Peter's widow, tweeted out their family's kind of dismayed at the development, and social media still some magic. All right. We always, it can be a downer, but still some magic. As the word reached the auctioneer, Angus Ashworth, that is definitely a British auctioneer's name, Angus Ashworth. And we can now say that the items are back on their way to the Mayhew Foundation. No big questions here, just celebrating a sweet, happy ending and the preservation of Peter Mayhew's legacy. So any thoughts to this story and how it made you feel, Jen, and following along if you did?
The internet can be a good place. It can connect the right people. It was happy to see that it had a happy ending. You know what it reminded me of was the exhibit that Todd Fisher did for Carrie Fisher and how he displayed it at Celebration and in Hollywood. I would love to see something similar for Peter Mayhew. I'm not saying his family would have to do that, but it would be kind of neat to see some of these things like he had in his possession and really celebrate his legacy. And I mean, made me think, gosh, maybe they could donate it to the Lucas Museum or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just would love to see him celebrated even more.
Yeah, I really agree with that. And Joseph, getting your thoughts here on it. But, Peter, his entire life was someone who was so proud and happy to be Chewbacca. The Wookiee roars, that's what he was about. And he owned it. And I loved hearing him talk. I love him talking about Empire dreams. And so this is an extra special ending to this saga for me, that this is in the rightful spot. But your thoughts on Chewbacca and Peter Mayhew and all this memorabilia?
Yeah, no, I echo that. It's really nice when social media can be a power of good and let people know that this is happening. It's kind of the ultimate life lesson of, hey, if you find the wallet, try to return it to its owner.
Seriously, yeah.
But I also, it did make me, I love what you're saying, Jennifer, about where the Mayhew family in Mayhew Foundation might, be able to share these. But I think a part of what was interesting to me about this is those documents are definitely history of Star Wars, history of cinema, but they're also personal to Peter Mayhew and Peter Mayhew's families. Like, it's not like he bought them.
Right.
Those are his. That he was happy enough to be involved with this was, sure enough that this might actually be something to save them, right? Yeah. That's a part of his legacy. That's a part of who he was as a person. So I'm just, I love history, and I'm always interested in kind of the way that documents live, that they are a part of the history of the person, the family, but then also the larger world too.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Loved it. And a good reminder occasionally, actually probably more than occasionally, social media or just our ability to get the messages out there definitely have a positive effect. The negative stuff can drown it out, particularly in the Star Wars world. So this one was a nice one there. We're almost out of here, but we're going to take a look at this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And we're going to put this one as around this time in February. Now go with this here. I always love to get the information from StarWars.com itself about this day in history. And we're not going to call it an error. Just there was something a little weird. This is the anniversary time of the Empire Strikes Back special edition. It premiered just after a few weeks after the controversial, putting quotes around that, release of A New Hope Special Edition with the Han shot first and more drama there. This release caused far less fervor in the fandom with the least amount of changes in the special editions, but it wasn't without changes, of course. For more of the Wampa to the wide open hallways of Cloud City, that was some of the changes. This was originally, I think, maybe going to be released around February 14th, 1997, which is why it pops up. This is in history, but Empire and Jedi were moved back, which caused a problem in my wide open schedule in that part of my life. So let's go into all of it here. What were our reactions to the changes in Empire then? Was there any waning of our excitement following A New Hope and all the drama that popped up? Yes, there was drama back in the days of Star Wars, not just 2015 on. So where was our minds with this, Jen, back in 1997?
Ooh. So this was, I remember this very well, because at the time, I'd not rejected Return of the Jedi, but I felt like Empire is the best. It's the best of the three, right? There was felt very hardcore proclaiming that. And so when I saw it in theaters, yeah, it was like it was a cinematic masterpiece. I mean, I'd never seen it on the big screen before, and it just blew my mind. And those changes, I mean, if I remember some of them, I thought they worked really well. I thought that they enhanced the film. I can't say the same thing. No, that's not true. I like the Return of the Jedi stuff, except for Jedi Rocks. But that was a whole different experience. But Empire was like, it was magical. That was a magical, magical viewing for so many reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you there. And as far as the changes, yeah, I think it's not only just the least amount in the trilogy, but it just, a lot of them made sense. And yeah, the Jedi ones are always a challenge for a lot of us, myself included. It wasn't even until the Book of Boba Fett series that I think I fully accepted the Sarlacc change played out in that film. So I get you there on it. And yeah, I love you saying it kind of made you feel hardcore as a fan, Empire. Yeah, especially our generation, you have that moment when you come to realize, well, you just realize Empire is the best. And in a lot of ways, that's, I think, true from a critical or technical point of view, but hey, go with what your heart is, and Jedi is important for so many people as well. But I think I was one of the ones that was like, he couldn't even change it because it was
exactly
part of the silliness of the discussion back then. Joseph, you were in a different state than us, but how was your experience?
Yeah, literally in a different state. No, I think I've mentioned before, this was a really fun time because I had, a lot of friends who were hardcore Star Wars fans. I was, doing a lot of sketch and improv comedy, and there's kind of a social group around who really enjoyed talking about films. Everybody's a big Star Wars fan, so everybody had strong opinions, and, there was some shock and awe upset about, Greedo and some of the do we need a droid crossing right in front of the screen in like a classic vaudeville cross comedy thing for A New Hope. So there was, I think everybody loved Empire. So there's like, oh boy, here we go. All right. And then I remember being just thrilled by the Wampa stuff, loving it, right? Like that Wampa shot is so great, just chowing down like, whoop, nope, I'm eating meal one, but meal two better not be going anywhere. Right. It's just so great and so brutal. Mm. And then the Cloud City stuff, I was like, yeah, I can take or leave that. But Luke's scream, which has since been removed, was in there. Mm. And so I remember sitting in the theater being like, this is great. And then the scream being like, really bothering me. Because for me, that was my ranting in the bar like Homer Simpson about the Blue Man Group back in 97. It was like, the Wampa is great, Bespin fine, but Luke made that choice calmly, peacefully, why would he scream? And it did get removed later. Lucas just really took his time trying to decide which Skywalker should scream what. And that is his prerogative, in my opinion. But in general, everybody, all of my friends at the time really, really were happy with Empire. So then they just got sucker punched by Jedi Rocks.
Exactly.
It's a good way to describe it, which obviously nowadays I think I have a little more joy in my heart for that scene, but it's still fun, especially coming out of Empire, which that's the final part of this here. And I think I put this into the question because I think this is something I had Well, again, I've never stopped being a Star Wars fan. There's never a moment where I was like, meh, other than, you know, I didn't dive into the EU stuff, but it didn't stop me from loving the parts of Star Wars I love. I had a little bit. I got 9 tickets and saw 2 showings of New Hope and Empire. I didn't have that excitement. I didn't get a bunch of tickets. I think I went just by myself or maybe with a friend. Jedi, I just saw once in the theaters. I think I maybe saw Empire twice on this re-release. So it affected 1997, Ken. It wouldn't probably affect me now. See things different. But I had a little bit of that, like, I don't know, it was Wampa going to sing now? Like, I don't know. I had a little bit of that early 20s cinical kind of stuff coursing through my veins there. So I don't know if that was just my experience. Jen, if you came out of New Hope feeling any different about going forward with these.
I was so excited. I really felt like my time had come because I had been, you know, saying how much I loved Star Wars. There was actually a Wedge Antilles Club in my high school. And it still felt a little weird, right? Like that we were like, yeah, that we were all like geeking out over this movie that had been released so long ago and it was nerdy. And it just felt finally like, yeah, you see, like, mm-hmm. I'm part of pop culture and entertainment. And things are cool and being Star Wars fan is cool. It just felt really, really good. And it was the first time I really kind of connected with other fans, like waiting in line. There were at that time we were waiting outside the movie theater. People were dressed up in costumes, playing, you know, Star Wars Trivial Pursuit and quoting their favorite lines, lightsaber fights. Like this was stuff that I had never really experienced. And I had felt like such an outcast. And I was like, my people, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, first of all, there was a Wedge Antilles Club and I wasn't informed.
Yeah, they were really hardcore. And I was too shy and I felt like they were quizzing me and I just, I didn't, yeah. And so I kind of, which I literally would hang out in the doorway. This is how sad I was. I literally hang out in the doorway and they would like play the movie and they'd share all their commentary. And I just would kind of like, literally just like, you know, be in the shadows. Mm. Anywho, thanks for the therapy.
I always amazed because I was born in the city of Orange and moved from Orange County when I was 7 to Pismo Beach. I've always thought if I'd stayed, Jen, you and I might have been members of the Wedge Antilles Club together. We might have met 30 years or 40, almost 40 years earlier. Who knows? Hanging out there in OC.
Sliding doors.
And I love what you're saying and get Joseph and get Gene on this too. But like that's one of the, I think the forgotten things of special editions. And we have the generation that discovered Star Wars because of them. I've talked about that before. My friend Billy Patterson, a lot of you know Screen Junkies, like special editions kind of was right in his wheelhouse, his time. Maude Garrett, this is how she got in Star Wars. I love exploring that side of it. But for us, we can get cynical and we can poke at it because we might have been in college and that Wampa did this and that was cool, but this and that. That Vader, we didn't need Vader walking to his shuttle. Like, why do we need that? But also, it was kind of a coming out of the shadows. It was absolutely had that like, oh, you like Star Wars 2 feel to it. And I think that can sometimes be forgotten. And that's why I will celebrate these special editions all the time nowadays. So anyways, Joseph, I don't know if you experienced any of that or if you had a, you know, DAC club. And
I feel like I can take on the whole world. Oh, my club's gone. All right. Okay. That was good while it lasted. No, like I think I've joked before, like when one of my kind of friend of a friend found out that I had Star Wars on VHS, was like desperate to, you know, borrow them and I hand them off in like a paper bag like we're doing a drug deal, you know. So my close friends were like, yeah, if we have birthday parties and no mean people are here, we'll talk about Star Wars a little bit, but
there you know, go
in the toys. But like, yeah, so for me definitely this era was a huge Star Wars just celebration, the toys, and I had other friends who were collecting the toys, we could talk about them, and I felt like I had a bubble around me that was my Wedge Antilles Club. And I still felt like the larger world, or certainly maybe even some with all the baggage and the stereotypes, like maybe some women that I might be interested in, you know, maybe didn't care too much about this. That's all, you know, complicated and not true across the board by any means, even back then. But I think for me, it was a time where I felt like I know that this would get me ostracized in some pockets of our culture, but I don't care. I love these toys. There are other adults in the aisle. I love seeing these movies. I love joking about them and talking about them. And, you know, wrestling with the parts I liked and the parts I didn't like, and I don't care. I'm going to be loud and proud. That was the power of it for me, of like, I know this is still going to get me ostracized, but I don't care. I'm going to choose my people, and I'm going to be around people who are into it like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well said indeed. It was around this time that I got my Princess Leia blaster pointing in your face with the hair buns photo. That was an art pencil drawing. And I agree with you, Joseph. It was kind of like, I'm casting my die on this one here. I'm going in.
Yep. I'm going all in. Yeah. This is what you get.
Full Star Wars.
It is a bigger discussion we've mentioned here before, but yeah, I that's one of my shaking the fist at society kind of things. If I had known I could even mention Star Wars around the girls in my school, I would have, you know, we were told not to. It was put out there. Whether it was actually said or just implied, you just couldn't do that. And that wasn't fair to anyone. Mm-hmm. We all could have been in the Wedge and Tilly's Club.
So. Yeah, exactly.
All right. We are out of here today. Thank you all for hanging out with us. We're going to tell you where you can find us right now. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Hive Social at Force Center Podcast. Available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. Finding me, you can go to catnapsock.com or at catnapsock across social media platforms. Have a lot of fun doing pop rock and radio. Love seeing some Force Center fans pop over to my music show on Mixcloud. You can find links from there. Jennifer, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on lots of social media sites. I've been posting a lot more videos lately, some Star Wars and beyond hashtag content on Instagram and YouTube at Jennifer Landa or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Indeed, indeed. And Joseph, where can they find you? You got wonderful content out there now. I want them to watch that short film that you got going out. It's very fun. I watched it the other day over an English muffin. So it was a good laugh into peanut butter. So where can they find you?
Excellent. Thank you for thanks to you and your English muffin. Again. Yeah, you can find me on all the social media, Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm posting on TikTok and on YouTube Shorts, more of my not unboxing videos celebrating my love of the various wonderful, weird Star Wars action figures. And yeah, if you want to go over to YouTube, subscribe. I'll have some more stuff coming. But in particular right now, that short, darkly comic, cosmic horror film, Unboxing the Cosmos. Go check that out. And if you like it, and you know other people who like that kind of thing, like the cosmic horror, please do share it, because it is a little bit more of a niche thing. Niche? Anyway, thank you for checking it out.
Thank you. Thank you all listening. We'll do more. We'll see you. Figure Fights. Check it out. All right. See you next time on Force Center.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.